You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. If you're one of those folks that finds a certain amount of nostalgia in train travel, you'll be interested to hear from our first guest. Melanie Lieberman, travel editor at The Points Guy, recently rode the Amtrak Adirondack line from New York to Montreal. I won't spoil the interview, but it wasn't as romantic a voyage as you might expect. Melanie and I didn't get to all of the key points from her trip. Blame me for not getting all of it covered, but we'll be linking to her review in the show notes. Be sure to read the whole trip. After Melanie, Jen is back from Deals We Like to talk about a new deal that can save you $50 on your next Hyatt stay. And as always, I'll close the show out with the final two pennies. Just a quick note that we'd love it if you subscribe to the show and leave us a rating. That's the best way for us to grow the audience. Hope you enjoy this week's show. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and you know, trains have always represented sort of a romantic part of my travel life. As a kid, that was the way we got into New York City growing up, and then you know, we've taken the train a number of places around Europe and other countries. And so, when I see somebody writing about trains, I'm always interested in it. And I did a recent train post for The Points Guy, and a friend of mine, Melanie Lieberman, who is an editor at The Points Guy, also had a train trip. And so, this is her first time hopping on Miles to Go. Melanie, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Ed. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and I don't want to spoil all the surprises. I really thought this was going to be a romantic journey, or I really enjoy it. And so I don't want to give away everything, but I will say part of the reason why I wanted to record this segment for my listeners is just I walked through the entire journey with you, and I could I could feel the hope, and then I could feel the pain.
Yeah, that's pretty much the summary of the trip, unfortunately.
So let's set it up first. So you decide. Well, I assume you were assigned to fly to take the train from New York to Montreal. That it wasn't a 100% voluntary decision.
Well, to be honest, I sort of walked myself right into this. I just like you have really been a fan of rail travel my whole life. I have so many romantic notions about it in my head. I think it's such a scenic and relaxing way to explore. And I've been really pushing for us to do more of this. I really wanted to take a train trip, and I ended up getting myself on the Adirondack train from New York City to Montreal. Which sounded scenic and romantic, and it's supposed to be one of the most beautiful train rides in the Northeast. So I was very excited that this was happening when it started.
Yeah, and I think for folks who, especially for folks who live in the New York area or other places where Amtrak is fairly prevalent, you'll hear the names of these trains. And for me, Amtrak was really sort of the way I got from DC to New York or New York to Boston for so many years. Right. And I'd heard about things like the Adirondack or trains that went to Pennsylvania and stuff like that. And it was those all sounded cool. And I guess it sounded cool to you. And then you ended up on what amounted to a 13-hour journey from Penn Station in New York up mm-hmm. to Montreal.
Yep. And I think the thing I learned on this journey more than anything is that, anything can be scenic and beautiful for the first hour or so. And then you really have to make a call about whether or not that is worth it to do it for another, 10, 11 hours. So it was a long trip. It was the longest way you can get to Montreal. You can get there a lot faster driving or flying or probably taking a boat, I imagine.
Yeah, and I think let's start out with a couple of things that from reading your post that I thought were positives from the standard Amtrak experience, if you will. So it looked like you had a more comfortable version of the Amtrak seat with more recline than you might normally have, even though it sounds like pretty much every seat was full on the Adirondack when you went.
Yeah, it was a very busy train, which really surprised me, and I got a sense of how many different types of travelers there were on that train actually during the customs process. But I thought, it would be just a handful of travelers trying to experience the scenic route to Canada. And it was mothers testing the trip out to see if they could take their young children on it. It was whole families who were probably looking for that experience together. There were business travelers. I mean, it was a real range of people on that train, and it was packed. There were very limited good seats. And part of the issue with this particular train is that there's no assigned seating. So it really is as early as you can show up to get in line, because not all of the seats have windows, or if you're in the bulkhead, you don't get a footrest. And, that takes away from the experience. But like you said, it certainly beats flying in, economy on a short haul flight on a regional carrier. So, lots of legroom, a pretty serious recline, seat back pockets and tray tables and big windows, and just being able to get up and stretch your legs in the cafe car is still kind of charming in its way.
Yeah, and I think if you're geared up for that with a trip like this, then maybe some of the other parts aren't quite as painful as they could be. For folks who don't like to deal with the cadence of airports that I think you and I find, fairly regular and mundane, for people that's intimidating for,
sure,
trains do have a much lower barrier of entry, in that you don't have to worry about taking off your shoes, and you don't have to worry about, as you said, cramming all your liquids in a bag, and the timing is more leisurely. The trade-off there is one of comfort for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, there's a pretty generous baggage allowance. And I had been speaking to an employee at Penn Station, and he said, oh, yeah, you can walk on the train up until it pulls away from the station. I mean, there's no, the gate closes 15 minutes before departure. There is no rushing through security. So in that respect, it is a much more leisurely experience. And if you're really not in a rush, I think this is sort of the key thing for this whole trip. If you don't care how long it takes you, this is definitely more relaxing. Everything about the experience is a more low-key way to get to Canada, but it does take quite a long time.
Yeah, and you ran into, taking a step back, I took the auto train down to Florida recently.
Not a fast way to go.
Yeah, very much not a fast way to go. We had said it was going to be part of the experience, and I don't think we had nearly as bad an experience as you did, because there was more stuff to do on the train. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I quickly ran into, that you ran into as well, was just horrible Wi-Fi.
Oh, it's awful. It's terrible.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm surprised that your Wi-Fi was as bad, it seems, as mine was. I guess it's just the route that you go, because it's all cellular. But yeah, you would expect to get a lot of work done on these sort of long haul train rides. And that really isn't the case. Although I find even with, the business class Acela service between New York City and Washington, D.C., that Wi-Fi is pretty unreliable, too. So it's definitely something that Amtrak needs to look into, because a lot of people rely on that even to justify taking a trip of that length.
Yeah, and I think if you're going to have extra time, part of the benefit for somebody like us who, you're kind of sort of always working,
right?
There's this, hey, well, okay, I've got this, 10, 12 hours of downtime, and I'm going to do something with it. And I think the tough part, and you touched on it, I really do think it's route specific, and that these trains are going places that, cars and houses and stuff generally aren't for large parts of the track. And so, mm-hmm. With a terrestrial cellular network where you're looking for towers, at the speed you're moving through areas that are not the most populated, you're just not on top of the fact that the train itself doesn't have satellite Wi-Fi and isn't getting a good signal. You ran into the same problem I did, which is your phone didn't work.
Yes. So you are pretty much on your own for that 10, 12, 14, 17 hour ride. You are pretty much with whoever you're sitting next to, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's like, I wish I'd known, having gone into it, and I think you probably would say the same, is if you had known it was going to be exactly that bad and somehow still convinced yourself that this was the right thing to do, it's like, I'm going to download a bunch of either books, yeah, or movies or something, and I'm going to make the best of it. But it sounds like you found yourself about as ill prepared as I did.
Absolutely. And I convinced my boyfriend to go with me. I waxed poetic about the scenery and how relaxing it would be. And I said, don't worry, we'll get a ton of work done. We will get everything we need to get done for the week and be really well prepared. And he was not pleased with the outcome. Let's just say that, because we both really expected to, if nothing else, have that sort of forced productivity time where you just get to buckle down the work because there's nothing else to do. And without Wi-Fi, without cell service, and not being prepared to not have those, we were really in a little bit of a pickle.
These are the moments when relationships are tested.
Absolutely. I mean, he's still around. So
did the words "you got me into this" ever come out of his mouth during that 10-hour journey?
More than a few times. I mean, I think he was really shocked. And you know, when you're in the travel industry, I think people do have higher expectations of you. And I think he was pretty disappointed that I was so really missed the mark this time. So I have to make it up to him with a better trip.
Well, there were, despite the relative pain on your trip, there were some good tips for folks in the post that you wrote. We're certainly going to be linking to that in the show notes, but talk about the red caps and how they can help you, not just for the Adirondack, but for any Amtrak journey.
Yeah. And I can't take full credit for this. It's a tip an old colleague gave me, but if you are using Amtrak, if you're taking a train ride at most major stations, and they do have a list of them online, New York Penn Station is included, you can look for Amtrak's red cap service. There's usually an overhead sign, and you can see them. They're wearing red shirts, oftentimes literal red caps. And these people will help you with your baggage. And what you sort of get, it's a free service. Anyone who has an Amtrak ticket can take advantage. But in addition to helping you with your bags, if you have a lot of luggage or if you need assistance, you get to board early as a resort, you get to board early as a perk of using the service. So of course you're encouraged to tip, you should tip. But typically you get to sort of skip the line, which I thought would have been especially useful with a train such as the Adirondack, because there's no assigned seating. And then, you know, you get preferential seats, but that didn't work out quite as well as I hoped. Although I think the logic is still valid.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, you know, if for folks who have been to Penn Station, this will, you know, make perfect sense to them. But so you're in Penn Station and there's so many different Amtrak trains, and you've also got the LIRR and just a bunch of stuff going on. And they generally don't announce the track for your train until fairly close to the time to board. And so, as Melanie says, you know, on a packed train, seating can be key, and you're waiting and everybody's stalking the monitors. And then all of a sudden, a number will go up on the screen and there's no tone or announcement per se. But then all of a sudden people start scurrying over to like some random escalator or door, and the red cap service avoids all that because they get the track numbers early.
Absolutely. And with the Adirondack and similarly, the Toronto train, the Maple Leaf, both trains, because you have to have your passport checked prior to boarding, it's a slightly separate system, but it is essentially first come, first serve. You get in the line and just whoever got there earliest is the first in line. So if you show up 10 minutes before boarding and that line is already snaking around to the back entrance of Penn Station, using the red cap service is a great way to sort of improve your chances of getting a seat with a window.
Yeah, and if you think too about the distance of the trip here, and I think the Montreal route is a bit of a tough one just because of the overall length, but in theory, the benefit that people like Melanie and I share when we think about train journeys like this is, you know, you're probably a solid 45 minutes to an hour to get to an airport like Newark or JFK from the city. Mm-hmm. And you're probably 20 minutes from Montreal to downtown and probably more like 35 or 40 from Toronto to downtown.
Right.
And so in theory, the time is cut down a bit because, as you say, you can get there fairly close to boarding. So you can probably shave 2 hours off of what it would take you at the airport if you wanted to go this route. You're still probably, what, you figure 6 or 7 hours longer net taking the train?
Yeah, and on the way back, I will say I did not opt to take the train ride. I flew from Montreal back to New York.
I kind of figured.
Yeah, after that, there was no question. It took about 6 hours all told from, you know, getting in the Uber at the hotel. We did have quite a bit of traffic, but assuming well, none of this was easy. Our flight was pretty badly delayed, but it should have only been really, if you're thinking about leaving the hotel, getting through security, waiting at the airport, if you build in all that time, you can easily be looking at 4, 5, 6 hours. I think for us, it took about 6, and that was longer than it needed to be. So it's definitely double the time, but you know, it's so easy to look at, oh, the flight is only, you know, 2 hours, but you have to keep in mind that that is never dropping you off in downtown. And as you say, you know, with the Adirondack train, you go from Penn Station to Montreal's Gare Centrale, which is right in the center of downtown. So there's no commuting time that you have to build in.
Yeah. And so that, you know, that does cut it down. It's still longer. You know, I'm not going to close with the easy softball question of would you do it again? Because we for folks who haven't read her post yet, you already know that answer. And trust me when I say you need to read it, because it wasn't just the timing and stuff. There were bathroom issues, there were food issues, there were crowd issues. But I am curious, knowing what you know now and having learned a few things about, you know, what food to grab to bring on the train and maybe some other quiet spots that you could have found on the train. If Amtrak had satellite Wi-Fi on that train and you were going to have connectivity for 80% of the journey, would you do it again?
That's a great question. And it's tougher to answer when, as you say, when you put the Wi-Fi back into the scenario. I think there's something, and maybe it's just me. I mean, I really always love the idea of rail travel. And, you know, we haven't even touched on the fact that for travelers who are really trying to watch their carbon footprint, it's a really smart alternative to flying or even driving. And I think there's a lot to be said for taking the slow route sometimes, really being forced to enjoy the ride, whether you want to or not. And I would, if they really hammered out the Wi-Fi issue and you had connectivity, I'd be willing to try it again. But I think you have to walk into it with a slightly different perspective. And that is, I'm going to spend the day on the train and, as you say, download the movie, read a book. I'm going to enjoy the trip. I think it's a little bit about adjusting your expectations, because these are not the luxury liners that you find in Europe or, you know, the blue train in Cape Town. It's a more modest experience. So I would be willing to try it again. If it guaranteed that I could really be forced to sit down, get some work done and not be distracted, then I think there's definite value to be had there.
Yeah, and I think the other value here for some folks, depending on the time, can also be the price. You bought your ticket fairly close in, and what did you end up paying?
That, if I remember correctly, it was just shy of $80 one way.
Yeah, if you have short-term travel between New York and Montreal, you're not going to find a $100 one-way ticket, a week out. You could certainly bargain shop if you're planning ahead and get something that might approach that, probably, you know, a couple of $100 one way. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the other things that people should know is that, you know, in this instance, it certainly is a way that's likely to save money, especially if you have to take a last minute trip.
Yeah. And if you have the luxury of planning far ahead, I mean, a one way fare starts at about $45, which you're not going to find a flight for that price, certainly not with two bags included. So there's definitely something to be said for the cost efficiency of taking Amtrak.
Trade-offs all abound, even in this with the world of train travel that we would prefer was more romantic than it sometimes is.
Yeah, definitely. Well, maybe one day we'll get to find one of those truly scenic, beautiful types of trains that people wax poetic about in the novels, but I don't know if Amtrak's there yet.
Yeah, I think we're still hunting. Well, Melanie, thanks for hopping on the podcast with me for a few minutes to talk about the experience on the Adirondack. When you're not hopping on the podcast with me or traveling to places that I see on your Instagram account that make me insanely jealous, tell folks where they can find you.
Yeah, well, like you said, I'm an editor at The Points Guy, so you can always find me there. And you can also follow my travels and my misadventures at Melanie Taran. That's the handle for my Twitter and my Instagram, where you can see more about this trip and plenty of others.
And it's also worth noting that the points guy did have a pretty much a month's worth of train trips. So you can hear, you can see more train stuff on TPG. If you follow Melanie's post, you'll see a bunch of other stuff that that we've covered. If you're a train romanticist like Melanie and I are.
Absolutely. Tons of content, everything you would want to know about maximizing Amtrak guest rewards, booking trains, taking trains, why you should take the train. We've touched it all.
Awesome, Melanie. Thanks so much for being on. Safe travels.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great talking to you, Ed.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Back at the Miles to Go podcast with my buddy Jen from Deals We Like, talking deal segments. And once again, Jen, we are talking about Hyatt. It seems like not a week goes by without them launching something else that we need to talk about.
That's because they're awesome.
And I'm biased. I think they're awesome too. But on this one here, essentially what we've got, and I said this in the post that I wrote about it, I really do love that Hyatt tries to find ways to pass on value to folks who hold their credit card. And in this instance, they're offering a way for you to save an easy $50 if you have either the original Hyatt credit card or the World of Hyatt credit card. Fill our listeners in on how they can find their way to a $50 savings.
Sure. Between October 1st and November 30th, if you spend $300 at either a Hyatt Place or a Hyatt House Hotel, you'll receive an easy $50 statement credit. You just need to make sure to register for the offer and be a cardholder and pay for your stay with your Hyatt credit card. It's really easy, really simple, easy way to get $50 back into your pocket. They recently did this with the Hyatt Ziva, Hyatt Zilara properties, which are actually going on simultaneously as well. So this is just a really nice way to just get unexpected money back if you are going to stay at one of those two properties anyways. And there's a lot of those properties within US. So, you know, if you're deciding between two different Hyatt properties and there's no reason to pick one over the other, you might as well pick one of the Hyatt Place or Hyatt House. And usually those are less expensive anyway. So it's a great offer. We'll absolutely be maximizing this. My husband stays for work at, I think it's the Hyatt Place a lot in New York City. So an extra $50 and right back into the pocket.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note, just like we did for the previous offer with Ziva, that you don't have to spend the whole $300 in one slug. As long as you spend a total of $300 in the time period, you can hit this. And I thought it was pretty cool that we've got a fairly large chunk of time for folks to hit the number. So from that standpoint, you don't have to. You know, you have to do it all in one fell swoop. And I would say if you're a business traveler who's, you know, racking up, you know, single night stays at Hyatt Place or Hyatt House, it'd be hard to hit $300 in one night, unless you're specifically talking about those New York City properties where he could almost.
Yeah, those are definitely over.
Yeah.
But like when I used to stay in Arkansas every week, those were $89 a night. So, yes, but actually, and I misspoke before, you just have to register by November 30th. The offer actually goes through the holidays into January 5th. So it's a really nice lengthy time period.
Yeah, it's a nice wraparound that it goes all the way through the called Christmas to New Year's. Because I find frequently for us, if we're going to take a road trip to visit family during the holidays, you know, Hyatt Place and Hyatt House are definitely our first choice. So, you know, good way to potentially, knock $50 off of a holiday stay for folks because it does run through the beginning of next year.
Right. And this is also in conjunction with many of the other promotions we talked about last time, you know, double or triple points at Hyatt Place properties. You actually receive triple points starting with your second stay. So there's so many opportunities here with Hyatt to, you know, maximize your points, maximize your saving, and, you know, potentially even make your way to a valuable status.
Yep. And we're not ruling out that there won't be more promos between now and the end of the year. And if there are, it will be Jen and I bringing them to you here on the podcast. Jen, when you're not hopping on with me talking about Hyatt and all the other great ways for folks to save money, tell them where they can track you down.
Sure. You can find me at my blog, dealswelike.com, and then via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, send me an email, anything at dealswelike, or my email is dealswelike@gmail.com.
Great. Thanks. Safe travels, Jen. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ed. You too.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. I wrote a post earlier this week about an aborted status challenge with American Airlines. We'll link to it in the show notes so you can read it. The timing is good for everyone thinking about 2020 travel at this point, especially in light of the recent United Elite status changes, another topic you definitely need to be up to date on. I made some errors in my planning when I got started on that American Airlines status match challenge. Just some misconceptions about what I would be moving back to as a guy who was loyal to American Airlines for a lot of years. Kept thinking that the grass would be greener than it really was moving from United for at least part of my business. You know, I corrected and got back on track, but it's a good reminder that you should make sure your airline dollars are going to the airline or airlines that make the most sense for your travel patterns. As all of you road warriors get ready to start planning travel for 2020, me included, it's time for us all to do a bit of housekeeping. Make sure you're choosing the right airline and hotel chain for 2020. And remember, the best choice for someone else may not be the best for you. And in some cases, the best loyalty decision may be no primary loyalty program at all. True road warriors will still find value from loyalty programs, but the infrequent business travelers might not. That's a full wrap on this week's show. A big thanks to Melanie and Jen for stopping by, and as always, thanks to producer Mike. And thanks to all of you for tuning in to this week's show. If you have any questions, you can drop me an email, ed@pizzainmotion.com. You can also hit me up on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. And you can find me blogging each and every day at pizzainmotion.com. If you've listened this far, I have to believe that means that you like what you're hearing. And if that is the case, please tell a friend and make sure you subscribe to get our episodes downloaded each week as soon as they're released. Until we upload again, we've got miles to go.